Open up with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, this morning. We're going to continue in this series that we are simply calling Our Father. We're learning how to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And the Lord's prayer begins with the line, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. For many, this prayer is simply referred to as Our Father. Many of us call this the Lord's Prayer. But we're going to use this prayer that Jesus taught us as a prayer that we can pray, understanding the full meaning and the purpose in doing so. But we can also use the Lord's Prayer as an outline for prayer. I find six distinct demarcations in this prayer. We begin our time of prayer, and this is what I'm going to be teaching today, with praise and worship of our Heavenly Father, followed by prayers of dedication and consecration, supplication, which is asking, confession of our sins and forgiving other people, then again asking for direction and protection from God, and closing our time of prayer with worship again. And using the Lord's Prayer, you could pray for just a few minutes' time, praying through all of these demarcations, or you can really pray through the Lord's Prayer really for an extended period of time, you know, just several minutes, maybe an hour or so, if you were so inclined, you had that kind of time, and you could just use these demarcations and just pray through. Or like I did the other day, I was getting a little exercise and by myself, and I took one segment of the Lord's Prayer and just prayed through that one thing and just dealt with some things that were going on in my life and just used the Lord's Prayer in doing so in that one demarcation. So if you found Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, would you stand together with me as we read from God's Word? Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You see that this prayer starts with Our Father. How we pray to God is largely affected by the way we view our relationship to God. Our Father expresses a special relationship that we have now with God. To call God Father implies that the experience that Jesus enjoys is somehow transmitted to us also. Jesus taught us to pray Our Father. He didn't say to pray to His Father. He said to pray to Our Father. I've always liked the 91st Psalm. It seems that David was sort of a New Testament person living in the Old Testament. It seems that David had the relationship with God that we have with God after that Jesus came. And in Psalms like Psalm 91, he personalizes his relationship with God that you just don't find many people in the Old Testament days doing so. And then even in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And so Jesus taught us that if we want to have this wonderful prayer life that he himself enjoyed, that we need to understand that he's our Father. As a matter of fact, in Romans 8, 14 through 17, we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, is like the expression from a young child, like Daddy God. It's the most intimate type of word for God, like the word that lady would use for her father. You know, she doesn't call her father, you know, Dr. Tan. She calls her, you know, Dada. Dada? Where's Dada? He's sitting right in front of you. No, this is, anyway, but it's that expression of our Father, this intimate relationship. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together with Him. 1 John says that we know that we've passed from death unto life because we have this witness on the inside of us. I mean, you could check this morning. Do you have that witness on the inside of you where you really truly believe that He is your Father? Do you have that witness on the inside of you that you really feel connected in a family-type relationship with God the Creator? If so, you have that testimony of the Holy Spirit within you. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to the Galatian church in chapter 4 in verse 6 and says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Abba expresses the most intimate way of relating to God. Teresa of Avila, this great saint of the church, known for her prayer life, said this: when we come to recognize God as Abba, we begin to speak to someone we believe is not only there, but is listening with loving and rapt attention. And so in our prayers, we approach the throne of God not with fear. We do so with awe, but not that we're afraid. We don't do so feeling that we're intimidated by the presence of God or that we don't belong. As a small child crying out to his or her father, look, God wants you to speak to Him and He wants to speak to you. And so Jesus taught us to pray in the most intimate way possible with God, with expectation that He would hear us. Hebrews tells us this, that because of Jesus, because we have a high priest that's sympathetic with all of our weaknesses and with all of our faults. I saw a post from Tim Story. Tim Story was here a few years ago, but he talked about God knows us. He knows that we are dust. He knows our frame. He knows our frailty. He knows our faults. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our sinfulness. Yet, He's broken down every barrier that separates us from Him. And we have full access to God because of what Jesus has done for us. So that when we need help, we can approach the throne of God boldly. Boldly. Now, my dad's been gone for over 12 years now, if you can believe that. But when my father was alive, and even after we were grown up and had children of our own, I never went to the house where I felt intimidated or I felt that I didn't belong there or that if I needed something, I felt that I could ask. If I needed to borrow a tool, I asked. If I, you know, needed some money, I asked. Well, that stopped probably pretty much when I was a teenager. But if I would have needed some, I probably could have asked. Are you following me? We need to understand that's the relationship we've been invited into with our Heavenly Father. Just the closest relationship that humans can have with other human beings. You can have that kind of relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that change your prayer life where you really believe that God is hearing and listening and attentive to and wants to respond in a favorable way to your prayers? But we do so also with this sense of awe, also with this sense of reverence. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Holy. The word hallow means to give honor as holy. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah writes about this vision that he has. He's a prophet, and he writes about this vision that he has about the throne of God. In Isaiah 6 and verse 1, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory.'" John, in his revelation, in his vision of Jesus and of heaven, said and wrote in Revelation 4 and verse 8, the four living creatures, the seraphim, each having six wings. Where, don't you like it? Come on, that somebody hundreds and hundreds of years later saw the same vision of heaven that Isaiah saw. John saw the exact same image of the throne room of God and these living creatures, these seraphim with six wings and eyes all around within and did not rest day and night. And what did they say? "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Every time I picture our worship time, when we're singing, and when we're giving honor and glory to the name of God, we're giving the honor due unto Him, and we're reverencing God, and we're worshiping God. Do you realize it's not just something that happens in this room with a few hundred people, but it's something that we're joining with the angels of heaven to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." When we come together in a church service, it's that place on earth where heaven touches earth and that line between heaven and earth disappears and we join with the angels of heaven singing, "Holy, holy, holy." So it's one thing to approach God as Father. You know, my father had limitations, as wonderful as he was. And I said, I could have asked for money, but I could have only asked for a little bit. Are you following me? I could have asked for wisdom, but my dad didn't have all wisdom. But when we approach the throne of God, not only do we have access, but we have access to the God who knows all and the God who can do all, and we give glory and honor to Him. Are you listening to me? I mean, when we approach God, our Heavenly Father, He really can do what we need Him to do. And He really can fix what we need Him to fix. And He really can straighten us out in the way that we need to be straightened out. And holy, holy is His name. The thing that I want to spend the most time on this morning as we're approaching God, and this is just the entrance to prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, we enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we enter His courts with praise. This praise and worship of God, our Heavenly Father, the Holy One, gets us into the presence of God, and then we begin to pray through the other demarcations of prayer that we'll cover in the weeks to come. But I want to focus that we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, God in the Bible is referred to by several different names. The first introduction that we have to God is El Shaddai in the Hebrew. God Almighty. I mean, when you think about God, God doesn't have a need. God is not needy. He's God Almighty. He is everything and has everything and knows everything. And come on, there's no lack to God. And so when we're approaching God Almighty, the name of God, we know that He can get it done. Are you listening to me? We approach Him as El Elyon, God Most High. He hovers above every other situation. And we have Jesus living on the inside of us, the one that has the name above every other name, El Elyon. And when Moses was being called to be the deliverer of his people, Moses said, well, you know, you're telling me to go to Pharaoh and demand that the people of God be released from slavery, and that you're also asking that we would go into our slave owners and ask them for silver and gold and wealth from this country. You know, who am I going to say is sending me on this assignment? Are you following me? Moses is saying, I can't go in my name. You know, my name's kind of mud. My name's bad in Egypt. As a matter of fact, I had to flee Egypt because of the murder that I committed. I'm a wanted man in Egypt. And you want me to show up and say, hey, Pharaoh, our God says you're supposed to let the people go and you're supposed to load us down with silver and gold and from the treasury. Now, Moses said, who am I supposed to say is sending me? And God says, you say, I am. I am that I am. That is my name. That's the name of God. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who always will be. Now, if you've been following along in Daily Chapel, dailychapel.com, we've been reading through the book of John. And you would have read this morning, I believe, or yesterday, when they came to arrest Jesus, they asked him a question. They said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And if you would have read from John, Jesus answered and he said, I am. And in John's recording of this scene where they come to arrest Jesus and they ask who he is, when Jesus says, I am, all of the soldiers that came to arrest Jesus, they fell to the ground as dead men. No need to ever get alarmed if in prayer sometimes somebody got prayed for and was overwhelmed by the power of God and they got knocked to the ground. There's a lot of biblical precedents for that, and there's a lot of that even in modern times, because when God Almighty shows up, are you listening to me? That something has to give. And the arresting soldiers fell to the ground, read about it, as dead men, when Jesus announced the name of God before them. It also lets us know that Jesus laid down his life for us. He could have escaped at any point in time when they came to arrest him, but he laid down his life for us. The name of God that we're most familiar with from the Old Testament is Jehovah or Yahweh. And I'm going to refer to him as Yahweh. And Yahweh very simply means self-existent one. And throughout the Old Testament, we have these compound names for Yahweh. When Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac, remember God told Abraham that he wanted him to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar as a test of his faith. And so they loaded up the donkey. They loaded it up with wood for the fire and you know, took a means to make fire. They went up into the wilderness. They went up into the mountains. Just Abraham and his son Isaac. And while they were on the way, Isaac said to his father, he said, Father, you know, we have wood for the sacrifice, and we have fire, but we don't have a lamb. We have no animal to sacrifice. And Abraham said something about God at this moment. He mentions one of the compound names for Yahweh. And Abraham declared in Genesis 22, verse 14, that Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. Now it's very interesting to understand Yahweh Yireh. The Lord himself will provide. I want you to think about this. Think about God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Think about the unbelievable amount of obedience this took. And as he's on his way, as a matter of fact, he draws the knife to slay his own son, and the angel stops him. And at that moment, Abraham looks up, and there's a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. The Lord provided the ram. I want you to think about your life and what you're going through right now and what you're praying for. You're praying for some provision. You're praying that God shows up and you need God to do something that only God can do. The self-existent one, God Almighty, God Most High, the God who was and is, and you're hoping will always, will be God. The God that you read about in the Bible, the God that you know, you've heard testimonies when you were a child, but you wonder, can he still be that God for me today? And I'm telling you, if he's God, he has to be the same. And if he provided for Abraham, he has to provide for you. Now the word really, think about the word provide for a minute. It's a compound word. Pro, P-R-O, meaning beforehand. Vide, like as in vision. It's a derivative of the word vision, V-I-D-E. He saw ahead and made sure that where you were on the right day, that you had just what you needed from him. Think of all the things that God had to do to orchestrate inside of that ram. How he had to motivate him to get on the move and take a certain path, to be in a certain place at a very specific point in time. Think about the obedience that Abraham had to walk in so that he would be at the right place for his provision to come. I'm telling you, it looks like sometimes God is not answering your prayer. But you need to continue to worship the name of God, the Lord who provides for you. Because God is doing things behind the scenes that you're unaware of, but just the moment you need him to show up, if you're where you're supposed to be, God will meet you in that place because he's your provider. That is one of his names. He's Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides. And I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. I grew up around here. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to be at my 35th high school class reunion party last night. And I'm so old, I forgot about it. So I do know about you, and I know what kind of needs that you have. But I'm telling you, if you will consistently worship God as your provider, God will consistently provide for your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's another name that God has. He not only is he our provider, but in Exodus 15:26, as the children of Israel were coming out of that time of slavery in Egypt, he said, now the diseases that you suffered and that were all around you all the time in the time of your captivity, he said, if you're obedient, you follow me. He said this of himself, Exodus 15:26. He said, I'm Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. And so when you're worshiping and praising the names of God, I say, thank you, Lord, that you're my provider. But I also say, thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103 that says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. And it goes on from there. But one of the things that I do on a very regular basis is I worship the name of God, and one of his names is Healer. I thank you, Lord, that you are my healer because your name is Yahweh Rapha. God empowered Israel's army to defeat the Amalekites. After Moses built an altar, he named that altar. And he named it one of the compound names of God. And he named it Yahweh Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory. You know, I don't know what exactly is going on in your life, but I know that you need some victory. I know that you need some deliverance. I know that you have things coming against you financially or just in your mind or in your health or whatever. It seems that you have enemies all around you, but in the midst of enemies, Moses built an altar before God and said, "The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory." Romans 8 says that he causes us to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. In 1 John says that the greater one, greater is he living in me than he that's living in the world. That God always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in victory. One of the names for God is that the Lord is my banner. He is my victory. You see, when you're praying through your time of prayer, you're saying, "Father in heaven, your name is holy, your name is wonderful, and you're worshiping God for his goodness and his mercy that endures forever." And then you begin to worship him as your provider. You begin to worship him as your healer. You begin to worship him, the one that gives you the victory, because he is your banner. In Judges 6:4, Gideon was about to deliver Israel. He built an altar, and in that place he named it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my... How many of you could just use some peace in your life? That's one of the names for God. You see, we need to understand who God is. It helps your prayer life to understand who you're talking to and what his attributes are. In Psalm 23, obviously, David, reflecting upon God's faithfulness, said, "Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that's going to lead me. He's the one that's going to guide me. He's the one that's going to protect me, no matter what's going on all around me." I think one of the, I don't know the right word for it, it's sad that maybe we only think about the Lord as our shepherd when somebody dies. Because it referenced, and I think my mom spoke about that when she preached from the 23rd Psalm. "Yea, though we walk through the valley of shadow, the shadow of death." The shadow of death is not death. That means you think you're going to die. You ever been there? You ever wished you could die? You were so sick or whatever. Or as a matter of fact, I hesitate to do this, but I'm going to be obedient to God because it just came back to me. It seems that we're not going to point you out, so please don't hold your hand. But it seems like somebody came in today and you just felt suicidal. But I'm telling you, even though you're walking in the shadow of death, the Lord is your shepherd. As terrible as it seems, as horrible as it seems, as fatal as it seems, I'm telling you, the Lord, your shepherd, can lead you out of that dark place. Don't be overwhelmed by death. It's just the shadow. Nobody ought to be afraid of a shadow. A shadow is a figment of something that's real. It's not the real deal. Are you following me? I might be afraid of Chad, but I'm not afraid of Chad's shadow. I maybe know Chad could probably beat me up if he wanted to. Did he say it's true? I heard that. I might be old, but my hearing's still pretty good. And finally, in Ezekiel gave this detailed description of the New Jerusalem and prophesied that the place would be called Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is here. Now, didn't you just sense that presence of God? We were standing in the presence of Yahweh Shammah this morning. The Lord is here. But you know what? You don't have to have the worship team. I mean, it was just some good, good, good praise and worship this morning. Just with the voices harmonizing and the instruments playing and things that get a little soft, you could hear that mandolin strumming in the background. We do that so that you carry that through the rest of your week. And those songs will carry through the rest of the week. And when you need God to show up, you know, come on, God doesn't live at church. He lives in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yahweh Shammah is wherever I am. wherever you are, because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you guys, if you learn how to pray, there's some things that Michelle and I have been involved in our lives. I'm telling you, only prayer made it happen. This relationship that we sort of stumbled into with a group that we've never been part of just came out of a time of prayer. And God is opening doors that I'm just telling you, I wouldn't even have known to knock on except in prayer God led us. And then God is opening the doors and supernatural things are happening and favor is happening because we've been in prayer. Hebrews 13, verse 5. For He, God Himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God said that about Himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then the writer says, then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. What God says of Himself, we can boldly say. So if God calls Himself provider, if God calls Himself healer, if God calls Himself our victory, God calls Himself our shepherd, He calls Himself the one that will always be there for us, then we can boldly say that same thing about God in our time of prayer. Are you listening to me? So there's a boldness that we have because He's our Father. And we worship His name. So this morning, we're going to seal the deal for this whole service by taking communion together. We have a communion station up in the balcony. We have a communion station on either side of the altar. And there's two out in the foyer this morning. And so let's approach the throne of God and prepare our hearts to receive Christ's body and Christ's blood this morning. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son and confess with your mouth that He is risen again from the dead, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can call on the name of the Lord right now and be saved. And you can come to the Lord's table and receive every benefit of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ as a full-blown member of Christ's family. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now you might just quietly to yourself say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. I believe that You raised again from the dead. I'm asking You today to forgive me my sins. Come into my life. Make me part of Your family. I believe in You. Now, if you believed that with your heart and confessed that with your mouth, Bible says that you're now part of the family of God and this table belongs to you. So let's prepare to receive. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, Holy Spirit, You are the giver of life in whom we live and move and have our being. Consecrate this bread and wine to be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and consecrate us, O Lord, to partake of this holy meal. All this we ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You in the glory of His Father. Amen. So let us pray the prayer that the Lord taught us together that begins, Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said to the Corinthians, and I say to you, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you unto eternal life. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. So we close this service in prayer, and then we invite you to the Lord's table. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have fed us with these holy mysteries of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. By eating his body, we become members of his body, and thus his agents in the world. Help us to be the distributors of your blessings, the agents of your providence, the instruments of your grace, the ambassadors of your love to all people that we meet in our everyday lives. By drinking his blood, we have taken on his life, which was not finally pierced by the cross, nor smothered in the tomb, but last forevermore. We thank you for this, the medicine of immortality, the antidote to death. All this we pray in the most holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, because he is alive. He reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. You are one God forever and ever. And all the people said together, amen. We love you. God bless you. Be dismissed to the Lord's table, and then go out and enjoy your day. We'll see you next time.